Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Ervin Daf Samaches. We have five lines from the top. The Gemara related for us a story where there was a 8-day-old baby, where they prepared some hot water to prepare him, to rinse him before the bris. And the water got spilled out. So Rabbi said, why could you bring him some water from my house? So Rabbi lived in the chatzer, which had no Erev chatzeris. And he suggested that they take a goy and have him transport the water from Rabbi's home over to the home where the baby was. And actually, in this movie, there was another distinguished resident. His name was Abaye. So Abaye and Rabbi lived in this movie where there was no Erev, there was no Shituf to allow carrying. That's why they needed the goy to transport the water. Amalei Rabbi Barav Chanan Labaye. So he approached Abaye as follows. He said, Mavoya de Ispe Tre Gavri Ravrik Rabbanan. A movie where two such great men as you and Rabbi, that is, live there. How could it be that in such a movie, there shouldn't be an Erev Chatzeris, there shouldn't be Shituf Mavois? How could it be? You didn't look after these important matters to allow carrying? Omar Le Sabai responded, my Navid, what should we do? Who should look after it? Mar, meaning Rabbi, Lav Urche. It's not Lifi Kvoidai, it's not honorable for him to have to go make a collection, a food collection amongst the residents. So it's not his thing. Ano, what about myself? Chiridna Begirsoi, I'm busy with my learning, I don't have time to look after these communal matters. It's something which needs to be looked after on a regular basis. Time's precious. You know, the Vilna Goyen at the end of the year, he made a Chesbron Nefesh, he had accounted for every moment throughout the year, except for 7 minutes. They say he didn't. One year, 7 minutes, he couldn't account for it. So every second's precious. I'm busy, I can't look after this on a regular basis. Inu, the rest of the residents here, Le Mashkechi, apparently they're not too concerned about it. They're not looking after it. So we have no Erev and we have no Mavi, that we have no Shituf. That explains matters. Now, what if I don't collect? Rather, I just use my own bread. I make a zikut, vi akni luhu pita basala. Let's say I'll take some of my bread, which is sitting in a basket, and I'll just say, I'll be mezakit, I'll make a kinyan, be mezakit for the other residents here. So this will spare me the effort of having to go and collect. Why can't I do that? Why can't I use my own bread for the shituf? I can't do that either. Why? Kivun di ibo ulaminai. Since if they would ask me for the bread, okay, this is the bread that belongs to all of us, let us have some. And if that would happen, I wouldn't have the ability to give it to them. I can't afford giving them all the bread at every week. So, since I wouldn't be able to acquiesce, I wouldn't be able to provide, batel shituf. The whole shituf becomes batel, because you missed the point. The point of the shittav is that this is the communal meal for all the residents. Now, if they have no access to it, if they can't actually practically give it to them, then the whole thing is invalid. The sanya, as we went to the brayse, echad mei mavi shabikish yain v'shemen v'lo nosim lo. Let's say they used wine or oil for the shittav, and one of the residents actually asked them to give it to him. Okay, it's mine, let me have some. V'lo nosim lo, and they refused to give it to him. Batel ha-shituf, the whole shituf becomes batel. Because the whole purpose is that it's of the collecting the food is because it's a shared meal, it's a shared food that merges everyone together. But if you can't practically access that food, then the whole shituf doesn't take off. Therefore said Abaye, it's not practical for me to offer them my own bread, which I won't be able to give them on a practical basis. So he asked him, Rabbi Baruch Hanna asked him, V'niknu luhu mar, Rabbi Yossi d'chala b'chavisa. Fine, you can't give them bread, you can't give them something expensive. Give them some of the vinegar that you use. Be makne to them, a revias of vinegar, Rabbi Yossi d'chala b'chavisa. from one of your barrels, which you use on a regular basis. So just designate a revius of some of that vinegar anywhere in these barrels will be considered designated as the shittuf material. Continue using the supplying yourself from this vinegar, and you'll just assume that whatever's left at the end of the year on the bottom of the barrel, that'll be left for the shittuf. Let's just designate that as the shittuf material, meaning retroactively we'll say that whatever's left on the bottom, that is what we had intended for the shittuf. So that was his question. Why can't you just do that? Vinegar is not so expensive. You can afford that. So he said, Tanya, we learned in the Brayta, ein mishtasim ba'itzer. We cannot establish a shittuf mevois using oitzer, material which is stored, which is used as a steady supply. Why? Because perhaps you're going to consume the actual erev material. You can't say, well, whatever's left at the end, that is what we had in mind initially. We can't do that. Let's see Rashi inside. Rashi, let's begin from two lines from the top, from the beginning of the whole exchange. Tre Gavri, Ravri Karabonim. So he asked Abaye, two such great men living here. Kigoin Atav Rabba, the Dairisu Bay. You and Rabba live in this Mavoy. Why don't you look after the communal affairs? What about the Erev and the Shittuf? So Abaye responded with humility. He said, Ma Rabba, the other person, Ein Kvoid Lachser, it's not his covet to do that, to have to go and make his rounds, collect the food. Regarding myself, he didn't say the same thing. He said, I'm just preoccupied. I don't have a moment for it. Regarding the other people, inhu, apparently not paying attention. It's not too important to them. Therefore, we have a situation of a mavi without an erev initiative. What about if I don't make the rounds, I just use my own bread? Akni lahu mishali rifta besala. I'll take some bread of my own in the basket and be makna to him, to them, be dibura, just with words. They're like a tircha, it's not much of an effort. V'yukulan zoicha mei l'shem shittuf. And they'll all be zoicha in this bread for the sake of shittuf. The problem with that is because practically I can't really provide it to them. Kivan di iboi lo minay. Im echad mehmo yitzorach lechol min ha-shittuf. If one of the residents approaches me, wants to partake in the shittuf, would like to eat some of that bread, and would request that bread, I have no ability financially to do that. I can't give away my own bread every single Shabbos. So it turns out that I don't really have the true intention of granting it to them. I'm not really giving it away, because practically I wouldn't give it to them. So if that's the case, the whole shittuf is batal. As we learned in a brisa, if they used wine or oil for the shittuf, and one of the members asked them, requested them to actually give it to them, shabikis yayin v'shamen mishal shittuf, and they didn't want to give it to him, the shittuf is batal. So therefore I can't use my own bread. So he asked him, what about using a revi'asa de chala, of vinegar, b'chavisa, b'echad mechavisecha, sitting in one of your barrels, to be the less paid. It's not something that you mark it on, it's not something of high value, it's something you can theoretically afford to give upon request. V'yikishitiv b'yayin, k'dom b'yipirka, actually, wine is the best material. It seems like Rashi is learning that wine and vinegar go together. It's the best material to use for shitiv. So why don't you just do that? Place the barrel out in the courtyard. And use a revius within this barrel for the shittuf for the whole year. Because that's where he placed the shittuf material out in the chatzar. And he told them, we can't do that. But davar ha'atzer, something which is stored, which supplies a person on a regular basis, you can't use that. I can't rely on their content for the sake of shittuf. Why? Mishum de ein breira. We can't rely on the concept of breira. Ein breira ezo shel shittuf. We haven't really designated which one is a shittuf material. We have this barrel, and somewhere in there is a shittuf. We haven't really defined which one, which portion of the barrel. V'chi mestavik mimenu. Now, if he continues using the content, Perhaps he consumed the sheet of material. Since we don't know where it is, so perhaps it's gone. If it's something which you're using on a constantly on a regular basis, perhaps it's going to use up the sheet of material. You can't say, well, whatever's left on the bottom, that's what you had in mind initially. That's the concept of brera. That what you designate now, what you define and verify now, should be applied retroactively. That's the concept of brera, and we don't hold a brera. As we see in the Braisa, which clearly tells us that in Mishtatun Baitza, you cannot use stored material which is supplying you. You can't use that for the Shittuf. Okay, so that explains matters. That's why we don't have an Erev or Shittuf in this area. Continues the Gemara. Fine, there's one Braisa which says, Ein Mishtatun Baitza, because we can't apply Brera. V'hatanya mishtatfin. We have a braisa which says you can use storage material for the sake of shittuf mavayis. You can say that whatever is left at the end is what you had intended initially for the shittuf, using the concept of brera. So one braisa says no, one braisa says yes. We seem to have a contradiction. Amar of Oishe Lakasha answers like this. The two braisas here reflect different shittuf. Habe sham, habe silo. First braisa which says you can't use storage food for the shittuf because we don't apply the concept of brera. We're concerned perhaps he's going to consume the erev material. That's fine, shittuf b'sham, you hold ein brera. The second braisa which says mishtatfin is fine, shittuf b'sham, we hold yesh brera. And we simply say that whatever's left at the end of the day, that was initially intended to be used for the erev material. So we applied retroactively using the concept of brera, what has been verified and defined at a later date, is what you had intended on doing initially. That's applied retroactively. And therefore, there's no concern using the material which is supplying him on a regular basis. As we're going to see in the following Mishnah, that Bisham hold ein brera, and Bisham hold yesh brera, the snan, as we're going to the Mishnah, hameis babais. There's a mace in a house. V'loi psachem harbi. The house has many entranceways. Kulon tmeim. They're all tamei. What does this mean? Rashi explains that aside from the standard tumas oil, so anything found under the same roof as the mace will be tamei. There's an additional halacha. Rashi here brings that it's halacha meshim Sinai, that the entranceways as well are tamei. So anything sitting in the doorways or even the windows, which serve as a exit route for the tumah, is going to go out somehow. So all these are also tummy. So even if the thing is sitting not in the same oil as the mace, something separating the mace from this object, but if this object is underneath that doorway, it's going to become tummy. Niftach echad mem. Let's say one of the doorways were opened. Who tummy? That remains tummy. That's been designated, so to speak, as the exit route for the mace. V'kulon tayr. And as a result of that, all other psachim now become tar. They've been exempted from this halacha because this one has been designated for the mace. So that's if he practically opens a door. What if only chishev lo hitziyeh be'echad mem? He only had a machshava. In his mind, he designated one of them as the exit route for the mace. Same halach applies to a window which is 4x4 tefachim, which is adequately sized as a exit route for the mace. So as long as you had a machshava to designate one as the exit route, matzel al kol psachim kulan, that saves everybody else. This one becomes the pesach for the mace, remains tamei, whereas everything else becomes tar. B'shama oimrim, v'hu shechishev ashaloyam asameis. This can only be applied if he had a machshava before the mace passed away. So he's pre-planning things, and he's designating a specific door to be used eventually as the exit route for the mace. That can work, because it's going forward, it's not retroactive. Whereas b'sil hold, u'b'sil oimrim, af m'shiyam asameis. He can even do this after the mace already passed away. And it's going to be applied retroactively. We'll say this is what was initially designated for the Mace's exit, as the Mace's exit route. And therefore, even let's say a Kli that was sitting in a Pesach after the Mace died, and that Pesach was treated as a Pesach Tomeh, now that he's designated one of the Psachim as the designated route for the Mace, retroactively, we're going to consider all the other Psachim Tar, following with the concept of Breira. According to Basil Yesh Breira, we can apply something which has been verified now retroactively. Whereas B'Sham held Ein Breira. You can't apply it retroactively. So since the Tumah has already arrived to all the Psachim, you can't say, well, let's decide which one is going to be used as the exit route, and we'll say, initially, this is what was really meant to be used and nothing else. We can't do that. So therefore, B'Sham say this can only apply before the Mace died, before the Tumah arrived. You can designate one as the specified exit route, and that will become Tami, and everything else will remain Tar. Whereas B'Sil hold, even after the Mace died, even after the Tumah arrived to all the Pesachim, we can go ahead now and designate one as the designated Pesach, and everything else becomes Tar because we apply this designation retroactively. Therefore, says Raisha, I have explanation to answer the two brises. We had a stira between one brisa which said you can not use the oitzar material, the food which was stored and supplies the person on a regular basis. You can't use that for the sheet of mavois, because perhaps it's going to consume the Erev material. This is following Shittes Beis Shammai, who hold Ein Breira. We can't say, well, whatever's left at the end has been designated retroactively for the Shittes. We can't do that. Whereas the other Breitzer, which says Mishtatven Boitzer, you can use that material for the Shittes, is following Shittes Beis Hillel, who hold the Yesh Breira. And we can just assume that whatever's left at the end is what you had intended to designate for the Shittes originally. We can apply that Breira, that verification, that specification, you could apply that retroactively. And therefore, that Shittev is valid. And Tosis points out that apparently Abaye didn't go along with this this reasoning. He held that all Shittev, B'Sham and B'Sil, both hold that Ein Breira. He had a different pshat in this Mishnah. Therefore, if all hold Ein Breira, you cannot use the Eitzer material for the Shittev that explains why Abaye did not want to use the vinegar sitting in his barrels for the sake of the shittev, because it's something which he used on a regular basis, and was concerned perhaps, if you use it for the shittev, it's going to perhaps consume the shittev material. You can't say whatever's left at the end has been designated retroactively. The whole Ein Breira. And that's why his Erev was never established. Continues the Gemara. How Yanuka, there's another story with a 8-year-old baby, which needed to be bathed with hot water in preparation for his bris. Ishtapu chamime. His hot water got spilled out. Amalu Rava. So Rava told him like this. Nishayli leime. Let's go ask his mother, Itzricha, if she needs hot water. A mother 8 days after birth is in a precarious state of health. You can use a nachri to help her out, to cook up water for her. So we'll ask if she needs it. So if she does need it, we'll do as follows. Nachim lei, nachri agav ime. We'll have the nachri be mechamim, heat up water for the tinaik, agav ime, on account of his mother. Meaning, when the nachri goes and cooks up some water for the mother, he can just add some more for the sake of the child. And this way the baby will have hot water. Now the Mefarshim bring this Gemara as a support to the Shitas of Rishonim, who hold that Marb B'Shi'urim is not a Malacha D'Oraisa, not Issa D'Oraisa, meaning to add, to increase the quantity. Let's say a Malacha is already being done, such as in this case where the Nachri is heating up the water for the sake of the mother, which is justified because we're Mechal Shabbos through a Goy in that situation. So once he's heating that up, just to add a bit more to be Marb B'Shi'urim, that doesn't constitute the Malacha D'Oraisa. Because the Malacha is already being done. He's already cooking water. Just adding a bit more, that doesn't involve a Malacha D'Oraisa. And therefore, in this case, when it's needed for the child, so although you wouldn't go ahead and initially cook up water for the child, it's not considered to be Puach Nefesh, but to simply ask the guy to add to increase the quantity of the water, once he's already cooking for the mother, to add more for the child. In this case, out of necessity, we allow it. So this was Rava's response. Go have the guy cook water for the mother, because she's in a precarious state of health, and then he could add some for the child. Amalei Rav Meshasha l'Rav. So Meshasha told Rava like this, Imei ka'achal tamri. This child's mother doesn't seem to be in a too precarious state of health. Look, she's eating some dates. She seems to be in perfectly good health. Amalei, so Rava responded, Eimor tunva ba'alma hudanakatla. Perhaps some seizure got a hold of her, and she's unaware of what she's doing. She's eating these dates, which are not really healthy for her at that point in her life. So perhaps that's why she's doing it. But really, she's in a precarious state of health, and perhaps she needs the guy to cook up some hot water for her sake. Continues the Gemara with another story of a child, Ahul Yenuka, Ishtaba Chamime, another baby, whose water was spilled. Omalu Rava. So Rava told him like this. What happened was that Rava was a neighbor of that chatzar where the 8-day-old baby was present. So the water was spilled out there. And now Rava, who lived in the chatzar next door, there was some water in his chatzar, which can be transported over to the other chatzar, but there was no eruv done between the two chatzeres. So Rava told him, look, I'm going to make bittul. I'm going to relinquish my usage rights to this chatzar. I'm going to abdicate this chatzar. And this will allow them to transfer water from this chatzar to the other chatzar. Now, Rava told him like this, I'm going to make bittul, but I'm concerned perhaps that after I do bittul, I'm going to perhaps inadvertently take some, myself or other people might inadvertently take some kalim, some utensils out from my home to the chatzar, which I'm not allowed to do once I do bittul. Because once a person relinquishes, he can't do something which appears as though he's regaining possession of his property. Therefore, he can't be moitzi something from his house to his chatzar after the bittul. So therefore, Rava tells him like this, Amlu Rava, panu li mani, vacate my belongings, mi be gavri le be nashi. So in Rava's home, there was a front room next to the Pesach, where the men would sit. And there were the back rooms, which were intended for the women, the Beinashi. So he told them like this, take the kalim from the front room, where I sit, to the back room, to the Beinashi. Ve'ezel ve'esav hasam, and I'll go sit there. And this will ensure that I don't carry something out to the chatzar. V'yivatalu ha'chatzar. And then I'll go mivatal my chatzar to them, to the people living next door, the next chatzar. And this will allow them to transport the water over to the other chatzar to bathe the 8-day-old baby in preparation of his bris milah. Amar Rav Hina l'Rava. How can you do this? How can you be mivatal from one chatzar to the other? V'amar Shmuel ein bitul rishus mechatzar l'chatzar. Shmuel told us that we cannot do bittul from one chatzar to the other. Bittul is a provision. The Chum provided an alternative for Erev. So as Ritva explains, when it's in the same chatzar, it's the Iker Mokam Tashmish. That's the primary usage area. It's your chatzar. You need to use it. So out of necessity, Chachamim allowed for bittul in a case an Erev was not established. So bittul is an alternative to allow carrying in a place of necessity within your chatzar. But we don't allow bittul to be applied from one chatzar to the other, to allow transfer from your courtyard to the next door's courtyard. That's not really a necessity. It's not an ikur makam shimush. Therefore, bittul doesn't apply there. So how can you go ahead and make bittul from your chatzar to the next door chatzar to allow the transfer of the water? Amarle, so Rava responded, Anok Rabbi Yechon Sfirli. I hold like Rabbi Yechon and Amar, Yesh bittul rishus, mechatzar l'chatzar. Bittul does apply even from one chatzah to the other. Bittul is meant to allow carrying in a case where carrying is not allowed. So it's a heta of the Rabbanon. It's an alternative for Erev. And even if it's mechatzah l'chatzar, it's okay. Says the Gemara, V'ilay sover l'mak yishmo. So Ravina responded, so if you don't hold like Shmo, and that's why you allow the bittul from one chatzah to the other, Nesiv mar beduchte. So why don't you stay where you are? Why do you have to go transfer your belongings from the outer room to the inner room? Because after your bittul, you're not allowed to transfer something from your house to the chatzar. You have to go through this whole procedure. Just stay where you are. Neisimar beduch. They want you to stay where you are. V'niftel lehulidetu. And go mimavatel yichotzer to those fellows next door. After they transport the water, you know what's going to happen? Let them do bittel back to you. Let them return your chatzar back to you. V'nahadru inu. And let them turn around. V'nevatel lemar. And mimavatel back to you. Whatever you gave them, let them return you, to you. To Amar Rav, because Rav said, mevatel mechazer mevatel. You could do bittel, and then the other person could do bittel back to you. So bittel could work back and forth. Reuven could do bittel to Shimon. Shimon could do bittel back to Reuven. Let's say we have Reuven and Shimon living in the chatzar. They didn't make an Erev. They can't carry. So Reuven could say, look, Reb Shimon, I'm giving you my chatzar. So for the next 10 minutes, carry there. After 10 minutes, Shimon goes back to Reuven and says, look, I'm giving it back to you. I'm being about to give it back to you. And now you have sole ownership of the chatzar. You can carry. You can do that. So why do you have to go transfer your kelim from one room to the other? Just do bittel to them for the time being. Let them transfer the water. When they're done, they'll return your chatzar back to you. And then you could transfer freely. You can take stuff from your house to the chatzar. So why do you have to go through the whole moving job and move all your stuff to the back room? Apparently it's going to be a long-term thing. It's going to remain that way throughout the whole Shabbos. Why do you have to be that way? Why can't you just get your chatzar back? So Rava responded, Anaha, b'ha k'shmos, really. When it comes to this, halacha, I look like Shmuel. Tamar eim avatlan, v'chazan avatlan. You can't do a bittel back and forth. So once I do bittel to them, it's theirs for the entire Shabbos. Therefore, out of concern that perhaps I'm going to carry something from the house to the chatzar, I had my belongings moved over to the back rooms, which will prevent that from happening. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Up on the top line. Nesiv Mara Duchte. So it was Ravina who asked Rava, if you can make bittel from one chatzar to the other, why don't you just stay put? The midika amris panuli mani, because once you say, bring my clear my stuff out of the front room to the back room, go sadaitach. You've indicated the me'achash tebatul reshuscha ein lecha yom hetter b'chatzar. You've indicated that once you do bittel, you will no longer be permitted to carry the chatzar. Anikas Shmuel. Apparently, this is in line with Shmuel Shita, the Amar Lekamon Ein Mevatlan Mechazer Mevatlan. Who holds that once you do a bittel, one way you can't do bittel back. Di lafki Shmuel Svirloch, because otherwise, if you wouldn't hold like Shmuel, leisim mar duchte, why don't you just stay put? Ubatlan Mishuschat Sechoshacha Ashachas. Be Mevatl to them the use of your chatzar, just for a moment, for a Shachas. Ah, Chikho Acham. To give them the opportunity to take the water over. And when they're done, so when they're done, they can just do bittel back to you, give you back your chatzar, which you can use freely. So the challenge to Rav is like this. You've already indicated to us that you're not following Shita Shmuel. That's why you allow the bittel from one chatzar to the other, which is inconsistent with Shmuel. So if you're not following Shmuel, why are you concerned altogether here? Why do you have to vacate your belongings from the front room to the back room, indicating that this is going to be a long-term proposition? This bittel will be in effect throughout the entire Shabbos. Why? Why couldn't you just simply do a temporary bittel for the time being? So when they're done transporting the water, they'll give you back your chatzar. In which case you can transfer freely from your house to the chatzar for the rest of Shabbos. Why? Rav maintains, you can do a bittel back and forth. What's the classic example? Shnayim adar mechatzar achas v'leirvu. You have two people residing in a chatzar, Reuven and Shimon. They haven't made an erev one with the other. They like to carry. So what do they do? So first, mevatel zeh rishus lezeh. First, Reuven is mevatel zeh rishus to Shimon. Ad she'aseh tzrachav, until Shimon's done using the chatzar. And then, Shimon turns around and returns the favor. V'yachas zeh, v'yvatel zeh. He does bittel back to Reuven. You can do a bittel back and forth. So if that's the case, why do you have to vacate your belongings? You could have done a temporary bittel. Do bittel to them. And then when they're done, they'll return the chatzah back to you. So Rava responded, the two things are unrelated. Meaning, on the one hand, I hold he can't do a bittel back and forth, in accordance with Shmuel. Therefore, I maintain that this is going to be a long-term proposition. This bittul will last throughout Shabbos. I need to vacate my belongings from the front room, for perhaps somebody might carry into the chatzar. So when it comes to that halacha, I follow Shmuel's din. But when it comes to the other halacha, I don't hold like Shmuel. I hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that initially you can do bittul from one chatzar to the other. These two halachas are totally not linked to each other, unrelated. Ask the Gemara 5 lines from the top. Is that so? They're really unrelated? Falav chatamu? Aren't both these halachas based on the same premise? Why? My time aim mevatel, v'choizun mevatel. Why is it that you can't do bittel one way and then do bittel back? Why can't you do the back and forth bittel? Lav misham isn't the reason because it's based on the other halacha. Now you can't do bittul mechatzel chatzar. How? How is it connected? To keep in the battle of Rishusay. Because once, let's say Reuven was mevatel his Rishusay Shimon, istalakli mihocha legamim. He has completely removed himself from this area. He has abdicated the chatzar. V'havale kiven chatzar acheres. It says though, he's a foreign entity. He's no longer a member of this chatzar. He doesn't live here. He gave up his usage rights. And if that's the case, they can't be mevatel back to him. He can't be the recipient of a bittul. Why? Because the Chum set certain guidelines when it comes to bittul. As you mentioned earlier, the name of the Ritva, bittul only works in a place which is the Ikar Makam Shimish, in your chatzar. And likewise, only to the members of your chatzar. In contrast to this fellow, who has given up his usage rights to this chatzar, he's become a ben chatzar acheres. He's a foreign entity. He's not a local member. And that's why Shimon can't return the favor. He can't do bittul to Reuven. Reuven is a non-player. He's not part of the equation. He doesn't live here any longer. So the Gemara is suggesting here that both halachas are very much connected. The reason why he can't do the bittul back and forth is based on the very halacha that he can't do bittul mechatzel chatzar. And just as you can't do bittul from one chatzah to the other chatzah, likewise you can't do bittul to a ben chatzah acheres, to a fellow who's not a local member. So if that's the case, the most challenging Rav, you hold that you can't do a bittul back and forth. Apparently, it's because you agree to the concept that bittul cannot work mechatzah lechatzah. If that's the case, how did you allow initially the bittul to be applied from your chatzar to the chatzar next door? Mar nami lo niftel. You can't be mevatel from your chatzar to the next door chatzar. So if you hold of this halacha, apparently it's because you hold the next halacha as well. And bittel can't work mechatzar lechatzar. So Rava responded, not so fast. The two things have no connection. You know why you can't do a double bittel? You know why a mevatel v'chozer mevatel? It's unrelated to the halacha of mechatzel lechatzel. Time. You know what the reason for that halacha is? Keiched lehavi milsa the rabbanon kechucha v'telula. So that the words of the rabbanon, the takana of bittul, shouldn't appear like a joke, like a comical matter. It's just going back and forth and back and forth. It seems preposterous. Chum didn't want to establish a halacha in this manner. So that's why you can't do the bittul back and forth. And I agree with that. But it's unrelated to the halacha of bittul mechatzel lechatzel. When it comes to that halacha, I hold you can indeed make a bittul from one chatzel to the other. So in summary, Rava allowed a bittul from his chatzel to the chatzel next door to allow transfer of the water. He held like Rabbi Yechon. You can do bittul mechatzel lechatzel at the same time. He figured this bittul is going to remain throughout the entire Shabbos. And that's why he removed his belongings from the front room to the back room, to eliminate any transfer to the chatzar, because this is going to be a permanent fixture throughout the entire Shabbos. Because once you do bittul, we don't allow the bittul to go back and forth. It appears like a joking matter, and therefore it had to remain as is throughout the entire Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, so we just learned, regarding a bittul back and forth, we have a machlekes. Rav Amar, mevatlin, v'chozer mevatlin. You can do bittul one way, and then bittul back. V'shmol Amar, ein mevatlin. They cannot do bittul back and forth. So we're going to analyze the svara, the reason of the machlekes. Says more lema Rabbi Shmuel beflukta to Rabbanan Rabbi Elazar kamifli. Shall we say perhaps that the machlekes Rabbi Shmuel regarding the bittul back and forth is contingent on the machlekes, is based on the same reasoning as the machlekes between Rabbanan Rabbi Elazar by bittul. What is that machlekes? It's referring to a classic case where you have people living in a chatzah. One of them didn't participate in the Erev. He'd like to make bittul. Now, what is he mevatel? Is he relinquishing just the chatzah usage rights? Or is he also abdicating his home? Is he giving up his personal usage rights to his home? According to Rabbi Elazar, he gives up everything. According to Rabbanan, he's only giving up the usage rights to the chatzah. So the Gemara is going to connect that machlekes to our machlekes. The Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Elazar holds when a person does bittul, he's totally being mesalik himself in this chatzah. He's leaving the chatzah completely. He's removing himself. He's no longer considering himself like a local member. And that's why the chatzah goes out, the bias is but everything becomes bittul. He gives up everything. Whereas Rabbanan maintain, no. Bittul is not meant to be applied to that extent. He's still considered to be a local member. And therefore we say, yeah, usage rights to the chatzar is given up, but not to his home. And this will mirror the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Why? The Rav d'Amar k'Rabban. Rav holds that you can do a bittul one way, and then a bittul back. So Reuven can be battled to Shimon for the time being, and then Shimon can return, give back everything to Reuven. He holds like the Rabban. Who maintain that when a person does bittul, he doesn't leave the entire premises. He's not considered to be Ibn Chatzar Acharis. He's still a local member. So even after Reuven did bittul to Shimon, Reuven is still considered to be a local member of this Chatzar. Therefore, he can be the recipient of Shimon's subsequent bittul. So Rav is following the Rabban. Shmuel d'amak Rabbi Elazar. Shmuel holds that you cannot do a bittul back and forth. Apparently, it's because he holds like Rabbi Elazar. When a person does bittul, he totally is being masalik himself in this Chatzar. He's no longer a local member. And therefore, Blazer holds, he was mevatel the chatzar, he's mevatel the rishus of the house as well. He's gone. And therefore, he cannot do a bittul back and forth, because once he's given up rights, he's no longer a local member. And he cannot be the recipient of their bittul. So apparently, the Machlekes Rav Shmuel is very much related to Machlekes Rabban Rav Blazer. This, of course, poses a concern, because it's going to turn out that the Amiraim are in dispute of the Tanoim, because Rav is going to be disputing Shita Rabbi Elazar and Shmuel the Shita Rabban, which is something we try to avoid. Says the Gemara, indeed, the two things are unrelated. The Machlekes Rav Shmuel is detached from Rabbi Elazar and Rabban. Amalach Rav. Rav will respond, I know the Amiraim filled with Rabbi Elazar. My Shita is very much consistent, even according to Rabbi Elazar. Ad kan loikam Rabbi Elazar hasam. It's only over there that Leza holds that Hamavatul Shus Chatzeroi Shus Beisoi Nami Bittul. When a person is Mavatul Shus of his Chatzer, included in that Bittul is the home as well. It's no longer uniquely his. It's no longer designated specifically for him. Why? Mishum de Bevais Bele Chatzer Le Dairi Inche. It's kind of difficult to live in a house without a Chatzer, without a service area around it. So it's impractical. Therefore, it's no longer considered to be a real proper dwelling. And it's as though he gave up rights, personal rights to the dwelling of his home. So that's what lets a svara, that included in the bittul is the home as well. But that's a specific svara there. But when evaluating whether this person is still a local member or not, perhaps he's still here. Aval ini nistaluki mi amar. But did Rabbi Elazar say that he totally removed himself from the Schatzer? He's a foreign person? He's not a local member? No, he's still here. We don't consider the Schatzer in the house designated for him personally. He's given up those personal rights. It's not a Rishus that's Miyucha to him. Because just as he gave up the Rishus of the Schatzer, he also gives up the Rishus to the house, because it's not a practical dwelling place. It's not Chashav enough to be considered Rishus HaMiyucha Loi. He gave up rights to that as well. But he's still somewhat a local member. He's not considered to be completely removed from the area. And therefore, pertaining to our question of lost the two-way bittul, of course, he can be the recipient of their bittul. He can mevatel to them, and they can mevatel back to him because he's still here. He's still a local resident. On the other hand, Ushmul Omar, Shmuel will say, Anoda Amrei Filu Rab Kerabonu. My view is consistent even according to the Rabbanu. Ad kan like Amrei Rabbanu Hasam. It's only over there the Rabbanu maintain that he only gave up the Rishus of the Chatzar, not the home. Ella, my the bottle. What he was mevatel, meaning the Chatzar? Fine, he was mevatel. The loy bottle. But what he wasn't specifically mevatel, what he didn't explicitly state and include in his bottle, meaning the home, loy bottle. That's not automatically included. So the Chatzar is bottle, but not the house. Avo, my the bottle. Mia he stalk the gamri. But what he did, what he was mevatel, meaning the Chatzar. Mia yistalak gamri. Certainly, we consider him to completely eliminate and remove from the area. He's no longer a member of this chatzar. So certainly the house he still holds on to. It's still uniquely his. But from the chatzar, which he has removed himself, which he was mevatel, he's completely removed. He's no longer a local member of the chatzar. Therefore, pertaining to our question of the bittul back and forth, once he's given up rights, once he was mevatel to them, they can no longer be mevatel back to him because he's not a local member pertaining to the chatzar. Okay? So the Machlokes Rav Shmuel appears to be unrelated to the Machlokes Rav Elazar Rabbanan. Both shitas are compatible with both shitas. Continues the Gemara with another suggestion. Amar Rav Acha Bar Chana, Amar Rav Sheshes Ketanoi. Perhaps the Machlokes Rav Shmuel can be linked to another Machlokes Tanoi. We have a braisa as follows. We know that a person who is mevatel rishus, the braisa will call it nasa rishus. He gave away his rishus to the other members of the chatzar. He's no longer allowed to transfer from his house to the chatzar. And this is what we had before with Rava, because it appears as though he's regaining, he's reattaining possession of the chatzar. Can't do that. He has to leave it in their possession. Now if a person did bittul and he carried out, misha nasa rishusay v'haitzi, and he transferred from his home to the chatzar. Whether it was inadvertently or willingly, knowingly, oyser. Now what happens is he regains possession of the chatzar. The bittul has been terminated, and they can no longer carry the chatzar. Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir holds that this applies to shoygi as well as mezid. Rav Meir holds that it's very easy for him to reattain rights to his chatzar, to regain possession. Even b'shoigig, he's going to regain possession. Rabbi Doimer b'mezid oisin. If he does it willingly, does it intentionally, then yes, he regains possession, and it's also to carry in the chatzah. The bittul has been nullified. B'shoigig any oisin, but if he did it b'shoigig, it's okay. It's not considered as though he regained possession. Says it on my lab, b'kamiflik. Apparently, this is the base of the machlokes. Rabbi Meir holds, even after bittul, he's still considered to be a local member. He hasn't totally removed himself of the chatzar. What's the raya? We see it's very easy for him to reattain possession, to regain possession of the property, even b'shoigig. We say that he repossesses his property. So apparently he's still here. He's still a local member. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that only b'mezid he's going to regain possession. It's not so easy for him to regain possession because he's not a local member any longer. So apparently, the Gemara is going to suggest now that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are being chaylik with the same svaras as Rav Shmuel. My love, Okamuflike. Apparently, this is the base of the machlekes. Mar Savar, Rame holds, he's still a local resident, and therefore, when it comes to the question of the bittul back and forth, yeah, mevatim, v'chayzim mevatim. You can do bittul one way and then do bittul back to him because he's still a local member. What's the raya? Look, it's so easy for him to regain possession of his property. Apparently, he's still a local member. Mar Savar, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's more difficult to regain possession. Apparently, he holds that he's no longer a local member. And therefore, when it comes to the question of bittul, Rabbi will hold the marasava ein avatul mechazim avatul. Once you do bittul one way, you can no longer be the recipient of their bittul. You can't do bittul back and forth because he's no longer considered a local member. So apparently, Machlokes Rav Shmuel is linked to the Machlokes Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Says more, no, not necessarily. Amar Rav Acha bar Tachlif mishmei de Rav. Loi. No, the Kuli Alma ain't Mevatel Mechazim Mevatel. Perhaps Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda both hold that once he does Bittul, he's no longer a local member. And therefore, when it comes to the question of the double Bittul, he cannot do a Bittul back and forth. Once he's given up his rights, he's a ben chatzar acheres, they can no longer do bittul back to him. So what then is the basis of the machlokes in Rabbeinu Avida? When it comes to shoygeg, whether we say that if he carries out unintentionally, he has retained possession of his chatzar property or not? So that's no b'hacha, but konsu shoygeg otu mezit kemiflugi. Machlokes is whether we apply the halacha of mezit to shoygeg as well. Do we make a knas just as when he does it, but mezit, it's considered as though he regained and repossess his property. Likewise, shoygeg will have the same halacha. We're concerned that if we allow it by shoygeg, it's going to be applied to mezid as well. So we apply the same chumrah by of mezid to shoygeg. That's the machlekes. But konsu shoygeg oto mezid kemiflik. Mar sovar remeot konsu shoygeg oto mezid. That we make a knas, a penalty by shoygeg on account of mezid. We stretch, we apply the halacha of mezid to shoygeg as well. Mar sovar, we don't know, there's no such concern. Like konsu shoygeg oto mezid. We don't apply a knas by shoygeg on account of mezid. So if he did it by mezid, yeah, he reacquired his territory. But if he merely did it by shoygeg, no intention to do anything, we don't say the same thing will apply. So it's unrelated to the general question of when a person is mevatel rishus, whether or not he's considered to be a local member. It's a totally unrelated question, whether or not we apply the halacha of mezid to shoygeg as well. But perhaps when it comes to that question, all would agree that after Bittel, he's no longer considered a local member, and perhaps he cannot be the recipient of Bittel. Finally, says the Gemara, one more pshat, Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Shmuel, actually, this machlekes between Rav Shmuel is very much connected to that machlekes between Rav Lezer and Rabbanan that we mentioned earlier. Beplukta, the Rav Lezer Rabbanan Kamiflagi. The svaras, the basis of the machlekes between Rav Shmuel, is the very same basis as the machlekes between Rav Lezer and Rabbanan, meaning that according to Rav Lezer, Bittel is all-encompassing. It includes giving up usage rights to the chatzar as well as to the home, in which case he's no longer regarded as a local chatzar member, and therefore he cannot be the recipient of Bittel. So once he gives up rights, they can't turn around and give it back to him. He's no longer considered to be like a member of this chatzar. That's Shita Shmuel, whereas Rav holds, like the Rabbanan, Bittel is not so all-encompassing. He only gives up the rights to his chatzar, but he still retains full usage rights to his home, in which case he's still considered to be a local chatzar member, and he can be the recipient of a reciprocatory bittul. So that's Shitas Rav. So in conclusion, we have machlokes with Rav and Shmuel, whether he can do a back and forth bittul. Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. We have several suggestions of how to explain the machlokes, and we concluded with the explanation of Rav Ashi. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Gamliel, Ma'asa Betzduki Echad Shoidori Manu. This is going back to the Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek, that although Israel can establish an Erev, or as an alternative, you can do Bittel, a Goy cannot. He must rent usage rights of his property to allow carrying in that area. Now, Rav Gamliel responded by saying that a Tzeduki, a member of that group who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, they wouldn't conform to the Takanas of Chachamim, they didn't establish a Reuven, even a Tzeduki can do Bittel. As was demonstrated with that story with Gamliel and his father, as we discussed in the Mishnah. Now, why is Gamliel responding with Tzeduki? Who is he coming to respond to? It appears that the Tanakhama holds that a Tzeduki can't do Bittel. To which Gamliel responded, yes, he can. Where did we see any discussion of Tzeduki in the Mishnah? Tzeduki, man dechar shemei, whoever discussed Tzeduki, whoever brought it to the table. Perhaps the Tanakhama holds that Tzeduki can do Bittel. Says the Marchasur Mechsubachitani. The Mishnah is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words, and interpreted as follows. Tanakhama begins by discussing a Nachri who requires Chiris. Not only a Nachri, but also Tzeduki Hariyuki Nachri. A Tzeduki, since he doesn't conform to Torah Shebaal Peh, he doesn't make an Erev, he's classified like a Nachri in this regard, and he can't do Bittel. Why? Bittel was never intended by the Chachamim as a primary option, as the preferred way to go. The preferred way to go is an Erev. If for some reason an Erev wasn't properly established, fine. Chacham supplied that provision. They gave option B. Bittel is an alternative to Erev. So only somebody who conforms to Erev was granted that alternative as well. He can do Bittel, as opposed to the Tzeduki who never does Erev. So he doesn't have that alternative. He wasn't given that option. You can't initially, you can't just work with Bittel. This fellow never does Erev. He can't use Bittel as his means of allowing the carrying. So therefore, Bittel only applies to Yisrael, but not to Eitz Tuki. That's the Shita Tanakama. To that, Rama Gamliel responded and said like this, V'Rama Gamliel Oymer, Tzduki Eina Kenachri. A Nachri is a Nachri. A Yisrael is Yisrael. Yisrael Afa Pishal Chati Yisrael Hu. Even though he personally doesn't practice Erev, he's still considered to be part of the configuration, the Erev Bittel configuration. He still can do Bittel or Erev if he wishes to. And he's not regarded as a Nachri. And therefore, the Schiris only applies to a Goy and not to a Tzduki who can do Bittel. I'll bring you a story as a Raya. There was a story with this specific certain stuki, Shayidari Manabimab Yishalayim, who'd resided together with us in Emavui. V'amar lanu Abba. Our father told us, this was after they did the Bittel, our father told us, Maru, hurry up, v'yitzius ha-kelim l'mavui. Go bring the kelim out to the Mavui and acquire possession of the Mavui. Make a chazaka. So he did Bittel. Now you have to acquire it. Do that quickly. Before he transfers his stuff out to the Mavi. And by doing so, he's going to reattain possession of that Mavi. And it's going to make it usur for you to carry. So this is a proof that Bittel works by Itzduki. He did Bittel. And we were urged to go quickly, use it, so that we possess, we gain possession of the Mavi. Rashi points out that it was after Shabbos. They have to acquire possession once Shabbos arrives. And once that happens, the fellow who did the Bittel can no longer reacquire possession of his property. So indeed, it's a machlekes. Tanakama holds, Stuki cannot do Bittel. Rav Gamliel proves from the story that Stuki can do Bittel. That Tanya, we actually have another brisa which supports this approach, that there's a machlekes between Tanakama and the other Shita. The brisa says, Hador minochri, Stuki by Soisi. A person lives together with either a Nachri or Tzduki or by Soisi, another member of these groups who wouldn't conform to the Torah Alpeh or Erev. So in all these cases, Harei lo Oisrin Oila, Allah to make it Asr on him, unless he does the Schirus. That's the Shita of Tanakama, that not only is Schirus required by a Nachri, but by the other fellows as well. The Brisa continues, there's an opposing Shita. A Shita of Rav Gamliel, Umasa b'stuki echad. There was a story with this certain stuki sheidor and Rav Gamliel b'mavoi lived together with Rav Gamliel and Emavoi b'Yishalayim. V'amalein Rav Gamliel b'banav, and Rav Gamliel instructed his sons, "Banai, my sons, maru v'tziu, quickly take out mashen tametziim, what you need to take out to the Mavoi, machnisu mashen tamachnisin, and bring in what you need to bring in, ad shelo yoytzi atoyev azeh, before this undesirable fellow takes out his stuff." And by doing so, he's going to regain possession of his property. So he did Bittel, and you must quickly use the area to acquire possession before he does so, because then he'll go regain possession. It's going to terminate the Bittel, and it'll make it usur on you. Because he had done Bittel to you, and therefore you must quickly acquire possession of the Mavi, Divrei Rav Meir. So very clear, we have a machlekes in Tanakama, who holds that Bittel will not apply to these fellows, whereas Rabbi Meir, who's quoting the story of Rav Gamliel, indicates that Bittel will apply to Eitz Tuki. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Beloshen Acheres. Actually, Rabbi Gamliel employed different language when he instructed his sons, because even he agrees that Bittel cannot be used by Eitz Tuki, and this Mavi didn't have Bittel. So how did he instruct them? Maru v'asus rechecha b'mavi. Hurry up and use the Mavi for whatever you need. Ashle techshach. Before it gets dark and Shabbos arrives, v'yeser lecha. And Eitz Tuki will make it usher for you to carry. Because we're not speaking about a Bittel, because there was no Bittel here. The only thing that works by its tuki is Schirus. And apparently there was no Schirus established in this Mavi, and therefore hurry up and use it before Shabbos arrives. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We began with three separate incidents of 8-day-old babies whose hot water, which was meant to be used to bathe them in preparation of the bris, got spilled out. In the first case, Rabbi suggested that they use the services of a goy to transfer the water throughout the chatzar to the house where the baby was. And that indicated to us that this chatzar had no erev or shittuf. The Gemara asked, Rabbi Bachan asked Abaye, why is that? Your chatzar has not been looked after, there's no heir, there's no shittuv, and he explained the circumstances behind the absence of heir and shittuv. In the second case, Rabbi said, go see if the mother needs some hot water heated up, and if that's the case, we'll have a nachri, heat up some hot water for her sake, and add some for the sake of the child. In the third case, Rabbi said, you could transfer hot water from my chatzar to the chatzar next door by doing bittul. So he did bittul mi chatzar l'chatzar, but he didn't allow the bittul to go in two directions. Once he was mevatel to them, they could no longer be mevatel back to him. The reason for that was, Rav explained it, was so that the din of the Rabbanan wouldn't appear preposterous, comical, back and forth, and therefore it could only be done one way, and that's it. The Gemara proceeded with the machlekes from Rav and Shmuel, whether or not you can do a two-way bittul. The Gemara provided several explanations for this machlekes and concluded that although when it comes to a nachri, all agree schiris is the only way to go, we're going to get stuki, we have a machlekes, whether schiris is required or perhaps even bittul can be applied.